Are you practicing mindfulness every day? How often do you meditate? And do you know how to heal yourself when anxiety appears? We're currently in the middle of Mental Health Month in Australia, which is timely considering COVID lockdowns are in the process of being lifted in Victoria and New South Wales. Clinics and salons are reopening. School is returning. Extracurricular runaround activities are resuming, and our social lives are being reintroduced. So if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed right now, it makes complete sense. Today, I'm chatting with Jeanette Delzio about the power of maintaining a sense of mindfulness every day. She has some great tools and tips to share to help you through those tough times. Let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a health and wellness copywriter and content marketing trainer, who's here to help perfect your message, then find the right channels to send it out into the scary online world, with the ultimate goal of making it heard and seen by your ideal client. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Jeanette Delzio. Welcome, Jeanette.
Hi. No, thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. So I'll just let everyone know who you are. So Jeanette wears different hats in her everyday life. She's an owner of an interior design business. She's also a yoga teacher and a facilitator of a national community supporting medical families and spouses. As someone who has and is suffering from anxiety, Jeanette has learned the importance of mental and physical health above all else. And yoga has been a key component in her journey, along with other mindfulness practices that are the oil that keep everything in her daily life running smoothly. And so that's why we're talking about mindfulness in business today, because she practices what she preaches.
I do. I try anyway.
Yeah, awesome. Can you share a little bit more about your business journey and your personal journey with anxiety and things like that?
Oh, well, I have suffered from anxiety severely, I'd say probably. I'm 34 now, so we've been around 25, so almost 10 years. Pretty much happened straight after finishing my university degree. So it was like a 5-year degree, which ended up being 5 years because I took some time off in between. I kind of went straight from high school into uni, and it was sort of just like, you know, you're on the wheel and you just keep turning. As my nature, I am quite, I'm a perfectionist, you know, a type A type personality. So I think I tick those boxes to, you know, and hypersensitive as well. So I think I tick those boxes to kind of lean towards more of an anxious and also quite a warrior, a deep thinker, all those kind of things, which I've learned about myself and I've learned to love about myself, actually, I might add, because they're definitely good qualities. So around 25, so almost 10 years where it got really quite severe. And it got to a point where I felt like I couldn't really leave my house. I was really suffering. I think it was also a really huge transition period. I was trying to find work as well. And a lot of us who are in design, or even if you're in the health and wellness industry, you can, you know, it's not always easy to find the right balance or the right, right job for you. It's, you know, not always easy. So I was in at that transition period, and I had also had just other stuff going on, I think, that I didn't really deal with, like emotional baggage that I hadn't dealt with from like when I had a family member who was really important to me pass away earlier on in my 20s, just things like that. And all of that kind of just built up and exploded. and I turned into an anxious ball of mess. And I had what they diagnosed at that time as panic disorder. So that was a really challenging time. And there was a lot of conversation around medication, around how to deal with this. And the main focus was medicate. And I'd just like to say as a disclaimer, I am pro medication if that is what is right for you and that is what you need. But within myself and with my instinct, I knew that wasn't right for me. I knew that there was obviously something going on. I could pull myself away from what was going on in my body and go, okay, there's actually something wrong. I need to seek help. So with like a good psychologist and talking through, we were able to uncover that there was a lot of emotional baggage that was basically becoming the anxiety. And I was introduced to this concept of meditation and this concept of mindfulness and mindfulness in a way that brings you into the present, right? And then one day I just decided to take myself on a date to a yoga studio that was local to me. I Googled, I worked up the courage to go. I walked in the door. I was welcomed with open arms. I did my first class and I didn't even remember what I thought about the entire time. I walked out and it was the first time I felt free in a long time. So yeah, that's kind of where that journey, yeah, a bit of that journey is.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Because, I mean, could you just define the difference between meditation and mindfulness? Just so, make it clear.
Meditation is the act of, I guess, like tuning into the body, right? That's how I would describe it. There are probably other ways that people would describe it, but I describe it as a way of tuning into the body and becoming still and focusing on your breath or focusing on your thoughts. I've always been taught in my training, it's not about getting rid of the thoughts. It's about becoming a witness to the thoughts or the observer of the thoughts. Mindfulness more so is about creating awareness and becoming present in the moment. So mindfulness practice could even be coloring in. It's about slowing down and being mindful, being present with the things that you're doing, or maybe doing one task at one time, if that makes sense, instead of doing multiple at once, so that your focus is in the present. That's how I define the two. What do you think, Leanne?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And meditation usually is you completely stopping your body. I mean, I know there's walking meditation. I was part of a little meditation group when I was working at a uni, but I didn't like walking meditation because I like to be able to sit and just focus on the black space, behind the eyelids or breathing and things like that. And then mindfulness, look, I think it's probably why I love washing up, like washing the dishes. It's just like, you're very much in the moment. Or like you said, the colouring or going for a walk without the ear pods thing totally letting it flow. But as 100% what you say with the meditation, a lot of people say they don't do it because they can't switch their thoughts off. And it's not, you don't have to go, oh, I failed at this because thoughts kept happening. Yeah. It's a matter of every time, you've heard this time and time again, meditations you see a thought, acknowledge it, and just like send it sailing, like push it in a little boat and send it sailing away. So you've recognized it, but now's not the time. Like you can come to that thought later.
Agreed. To me, meditation as well, in my self-development journey, I've really come to realize, and I love this concept, it's about just being. You don't need to do anything. It's really just about being and existing in that space and in that stillness. And to me, that's really comforting. And I have a lot of people as well, obviously I'm a yoga teacher, a newly qualified yoga teacher as of 2019. And I teach two yin classes a week of an evening, of a Monday and a Friday. And I have so many students, even through ADSM, which is the Australian Doctor Spouse Network, which is what I facilitate, where we talk a lot about mindfulness and meditation, how that can help you cultivate self-care within yourself. And it's all like, oh, the thoughts, I can't get the thoughts out of my head, so I'm not going to do it. I can't be bothered. I'm not good at it. Or, and it's not true. It's actually, that's the whole point. So, I mean, it's not for everybody, but I think you really, if you're able to become comfortable with yourself and comfortable with the thoughts and practice this concept of non-reactivity, I think that you're on the way to basically you're meditating. That's it.
Yeah, fantastic. And so how can our listeners incorporate mindfulness into their day while also managing a business, managing the kids, managing the house, everything else?
Loaded question. Okay, there are a few ways. So for me personally, I've learned over the years, like I run interior business, but aside from that, my personal life is actually quite hectic because of my husband's job and role and how that impacts our life, what we do, where we live, how many hours he works, how much time I'm on my own, feeling isolated, all of these things, right? Which is why ADSN, Australia Adoptive Spouse Network, exists. However, I've learned that it's so important, boundaries. Mindfulness practice is also boundaries. So really knowing where your boundaries are and putting them in place so that you have the space to do the practices like the yoga, like the meditation, that then can help you become more present in your day-to-day life. So some of the things that I like to do, I have very certain times when I have lunch and when I have morning tea, and I switch off. I don't have my phone. I don't answer it. And I'm away from my technology, and I don't have any notifications of my emails and things like that on my phone. I just don't, because if I need my phone for a meditation app or music, I don't want to be interrupted in that space. So those hours of my day are when I go for a walk, and I enjoy looking at the sky, looking at the trees, looking at my dog, and engaging that way. And if you engage in those things and actually think about how the wind feels on your face and stuff like that, you become very present. So there are a few ways for sure. The other ways, mindfulness, it's really about scheduling it too. And I do this all the time. I try and schedule it. I write it down. Apart from those 2 days in my diary, I've got, like I said, okay, so between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m., no phone calls, it's yoga time or mindfulness time. And that morning time is really crucial for me to set myself up for my day. And I schedule it in. But of course, I've learned you can't crucify yourself if it doesn't happen, because sometimes it doesn't. Like this week, it rarely happened. But then when it happens, it's like, oh, I know why I do this. So they're the kind of things. Also just practicing, mindfulness, like even when I'm in the shower, being present when I wash the dishes. I really liked your analogy of that, definitely. Those are the ways that I definitely incorporate it, and creating those boundaries between business and personal self. Because if I'm not my best self, then I can't run my business, and I can't be the best person for my husband either. So, yeah, they're really important things.
Yeah, no, they're great tips. I'll have to see. I have my emails on my phone, and I know I shouldn't, because I'm not just checking them. I've got 5 minutes to breathe, and I just you go on your phone, which is what so many people are used to doing these days. And yeah. It'd be so much better to sit there and close my eyes for 5 minutes and just like be mindful. But yeah. Instead, I'm scrolling through my phone and I'm consciously going, "Why am I doing this? Like, there's nothing. Why would I expect the emails to be any different? And I'm not going to respond to an email on my phone. I prefer to be on my computer. So what's the point? Yeah. Like, there is no point."
Exactly.
I think it's like the whole FOMO, right? You're afraid, I'm relaxing for 5 minutes. So that's probably right when a really crucial thing will come through that can't wait. And yeah.
I have had to learn the hard way, because I, with my business, I'm pretty sure it's nearly 10 years old. Yeah, it's almost 10 years old. I started it pretty much maybe a year after getting into yoga. I always had the ABN, but I really took it seriously. And to be honest, the yoga and the personal development helped me grow the business and turn it, like, I was able to build it from that anxious place, which is really important. But you know what? I was reminded this week of why I don't take phone calls at 8 a.m. I don't take phone calls at 8:30. I used to very much so answer my phone at 7. It would go off, you know, and I'm an early riser, but that doesn't mean that I need to attend to everybody's needs. So obviously working in the design industry, trades start at 7. So builders would be calling me at 7 with issues, big issues, and then it would ruin my whole day. And I would get to 5:30 and I'd be a mess. I'd even be a mess at 9 in the morning because I took that phone call at 7. And about 2 years ago, when I had to make some huge changes in my life due to my health and also due to my personal circumstances, those enforced boundaries showed me how important it is to have those practices in place and not to break them. Then I broke them on Thursday, and you know what happened? I forgot a very important thing at home when I jumped in the car to get on the highway to go to my job. And I got there and I forgot what I needed. Mm. And yeah, I was really reminded, and I thought to myself, this is why, Jeanette, you don't take phone calls at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I've had 10 a.m. briefings with a client on a Monday, and I've just realized I can't do that, because if that phone call goes bad, if you haven't done something and that's some sort of issue, first thing, the beginning of the week, and it just sets up the whole week going, ah. So exactly. It's true. And I'm trying to, get up early. I'm early riser to get up earlier to spend that time on me. I'd forgotten it. For about 6 months I wasn't doing it, and I've just started getting back into it. And I've just realized how much I'm such a better person in myself, because I'm like, yeah, I went for that run, did that yoga or whatever I did before the rest of the house woke up. I kind of forgot what that was like, and I have noticed a difference in myself. It's so true. And so, so we'll talk about yoga. So what are the benefits of yoga, and is it for everyone?
So the benefits of yoga, I believe, are about creating awareness of the body. So not just the physical body, but the emotional and spiritual body too, regardless of whatever it is, whether you're religious beliefs or whatnot. But I believe like your soul and your emotional state and the physical. So it's really about connecting all of them, the mind, body and soul, that whole concept. And you do it on this mat, which, funny enough, becomes a mirror for yourself and how you react to things, because it shapes, and it can be dynamic and it can also be slow, but there are these shapes that really challenge the body and put you in situations that you normally wouldn't be, and then it teaches you to breathe or even begin to understand your reaction to it. So look, do I think yoga should be for everyone? Of course, I'm a yoga teacher. I want everybody to do yoga. I think it's amazing. It has solely been the most important and transformational tool for me in moving past my anxiety and a lot of emotional distress. I say that with hand on my heart, over psychology, with them all together, but that has definitely been, for me, the most transformational and the most freeing. So I think it's for everybody. I get a lot of the, oh, but I'm not flexible, so I can't do yoga. Like, well, that's got nothing to do with it. If you, again, same as meditation, are challenged by this concept of flexibility, just get on the mat and try it, you know. There are lots of different disciplines of yoga. There's Hatha yoga, there's Ashtanga, there's Iyengar. Power, there's just vinyasa, there's also yin and restore, and there are a few others as well, but they're the main ones that you will hear about. And I'm trained in power, vinyasa and yin yoga. However, I'm very interested in just any type of yoga, really, but I also am very interested in the yin yoga, because yin yoga is about finding that stillness within the shapes. So it's very low to the ground, but you are very much challenging your mind and sensations in the body and creating this concept of non-reactivity, which has been crucial in moving past anxiety, because anxiety is a reaction and your body is creating these sensations. So if you can learn to acknowledge those sensations and move away and go, okay, I've got heart palpitations, okay, I've got this, but rationally think about it and talk yourself out, it's a really great tool and teaches you to breathe. And the breath is magic.
Yeah. Because anxiety is pretty much the breathing isn't happening properly, is that it's kind of correct. Like out of whack. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's all this tension in the body too. And for me, you know, this acknowledgement of actually noticing what's happening in the body physically and emotionally. So how I'm feeling emotionally, what's being stored, where I'm feeling the tension, how I can let that go, how I can use my breath to help me let that go. With yoga, it's really freeing. It's because it focuses on the tissue. It's a very different type of exercise. And yet you still gain the benefits of strength and mobility. Because honestly, if you do a vinyasa class or even a heated yoga class, which I'm not a fan of.
But, yeah, I was going to ask you about Bikram.
Yeah, Bikram.
I haven't tried it. I mean, I'm not great with just general heat, like sitting in saunas. I can't do it anyway, so I haven't even tried Bikram, but I've heard it's great. Like some people love it.
Some people love it, and that's their thing. And I think if you just find what works for you, I think that's really kind of a key message of health and wellness too. You have to find what works for you and not be ashamed and implement it. And yeah, like just make it happen. Because I spent a lot of time being ashamed as well. I spent a lot of time in the dark about my anxiety. So many people did have no idea. I'm pretty sure so many people still don't have no idea. But, you know, I've had a lot of comments like, oh, but you're so level-headed. Yeah, mate, if you knew me, really, and knew how, yes, I am level-headed, but the anxiety, when you're in that spiral, it can be awful.
Yeah, yeah, and I personally experience it. I mean, my sister as well, she gets it quite bad and struggles. I'm quite good at acknowledging it. I'm very, reflective. I acknowledge and I'm always self-assessing how I'm feeling and this kind of thing. Yeah. And so I recognize it, go, all right, I know what to have to do. I have to go breathe. I have to walk away from the kids if it was with them, have some breaths. And it only really spirals when I can't get that space. So say for example, yeah, the five-year-old will follow me. I'm like, I can't have you follow me right now. He just doesn't get it. I get it as well. And people probably same as what they said to you, like, no, you seem like you've got it all together. No, I do a lot of things. And most of the time it's all smooth sailing. But sometimes one thing just puts me, like, I know it's my trigger. And it just pushes me over the edge.
Yeah.
So are there any particular yoga poses that help anxiety?
Yes, there are actually. It depends where you hold the anxiety as well. But a favorite for me is literally lying on the floor, flat with your back on the floor, and actually having your legs up the wall. If your legs aren't up the wall and you've got a block supporting your sacrum, it's called Harita Karani, if I'm saying it correctly in the Sanskrit, which I'm probably not, but so yogis don't kill me. But it's basically just legs up the wall. So it's this concept of you're feeling your back body on the floor and your legs are up. So your legs are higher than your heart. And it's this restorative posture that you can put yourself in if you are feeling super anxious. The other one that I find really helpful is child's pose. Just a simple child's pose can work wonders, particularly because if you need to bring yourself inward and closing down your eyes and bringing yourself into your body and regulating your breath, it can be quite nice too. When I feel very anxious though, if I'm getting peak anxiety, I actually just need to lie on my back and I need to be in Shavasana. So that's best for me if I'm peak anxiety mode. But if I'm just feeling a lot of anxious energy, a vinyasa movement, you know, from down dog to a plank and moving through to cobra to move and shift the energy of the upper body, I find very helpful. And I was just going to say as well before with your point about, you know, the five-year-old being on top of you and not, I get like that too. And that's another way that I implement mindfulness and boundaries in my everyday life. I don't get angry with myself anymore if I need a 5-minute break, and it happens. I've like, honestly, this podcast couldn't be more timely. I have had a very tough week. It has been really rough, and I've had to go, like, if you're in Sydney, you've come out of lockdown essentially, which I am, and I've kind of been just pushed straight back into the world workforce wise, interacting and whatnot. And it's not so much COVID that's making me anxious, it's more so that I don't have that space, the home space and the security of my home and my sacred space to feel connected to myself if I feel anxious on the road. So I feel quite drained today because I've expelled so much energy. So in between my day today after lunch, I was like, I'm lying down, I'm done.
Yeah, I have those moments where I'm like, oh, I've got so much to do. Oh, actually, I have a half hour break in between like meetings right now. I could get admin done, but honestly, I just need to go like lie on the couch and just like watch one episode or something on Netflix. I just want to go read, or just gonna go for a quick walk. And I had this moment of guilt going, oh no, I should be finding something to do because there's always plenty of stuff to do. But yeah, it just being kind to yourself, going, it's okay to just listen in and go, actually, I'll probably be more productive after I had that little break than if I push through it. So
exactly. And that's why sometimes, like, you'll see, I mean, you know, on the audio, you won't see my yoga mat, but you'll see my yoga mat behind me in my office and Leanne can see it. Honestly, sometimes I'm just lying there after a really hard conversation for like 5 minutes, or moving through the vinyasa that I just spoke about, or just cat and cow. You know, and on a Monday, I have a non-negotiable 12:15. I have my own yin practice. 12:15, non-negotiable. That happens, you know, and that's my own practice for myself, regardless of the fact that I teach. That's my time. And sometimes it's like 30 minutes, sometimes 45, sometimes it's 10, you know. Yeah,
just chilling out. It's like, actually, I do have to clean up the floor in my office because I've just got one of those standing desks, or the one that moves up and down. And I cleared all the stuff that was on my desk, and now everything on the floor behind me is what I thought I really don't need to put back. I said, but I thought through it. But yeah, I should get my yoga mat out, because that's what I was doing last year. I was doing online yoga classes. And so I literally, because my office is my own room, because I haven't had my own room since I was like 5. I went from sharing with my sister and then sharing with my fiance and husband. So yeah, it's my own room. Yeah, I should just get the yoga mat out and then just lie there when I need to, and it's right here. And
shamelessly, it's there all the time. It never moves. And I get really angry if anyone moves it.
Don't move my mat.
And it's funny, my husband knows my mat's sacred. Like, he's not allowed to touch my mat. If he even tries to step on my mat, I'm like, I can see you. See this? I can see you. Like, get off my mat.
I was actually thinking, should you, when you are out on the road, do you recommend having some sort of a grounding token or something, like whether it's a gemstone, like, I don't know, if you crystals or something?
I love crystals. I don't have any on me, but I actually use essential oils. That for me, aromatherapy gets me out of my mind. It's really just about shifting that focus, right? Especially if you're feeling quite anxious. So for me, it's aromatherapy. So I just have an essential oil, a lavender essential oil that I have with me, that I actually just whiff over my nose
My lavender's on my desk. I'm showing it up.
So that's kind of my thing. It's in my bag. Like, it's in my bag. It's in my car. My car smells of lavender. Everyone thinks I'm crazy.
It's just like, it smells like an old lady.
What are you doing? What are you doing? I love it. That would be my token. That would be my thing. I've also been known sometimes driving in traffic really triggers me, because I feel like I can't get to my location, or I feel really rushed. Rushing is a trigger for me as well, because I feel like I've got a lot of pressure and can't breathe. Yeah. Again, it depends how high my threshold is of what's been going on in my life prior to that moment. But the other thing, I have been known to pull over. I have done it. I've had to. I've just pulled over and I take a couple of breaths. I use my lavender. I'm sure someone must have seen me and go, what the hell is she doing? I've also done a lot of EFT. I don't know if you heard of that, which is the tapping on the meridians. So I use it on my hands, or I quite like the pressure points at the base of my skull, those bony points. And if you just, I kind of massage those. For me, they're a big, they release. It's like I massage them and I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, I'm back. So, you know, you got to find what works for you.
That's awesome. Are there any like visualization or meditations that you can recommend?
I really love the Calm app, and I really love Smiling Minds app. I love both, but I'm really into the Calm app at the moment. I actually recently this year have gone through some insomnia, which I've not experienced before with my anxiety, but it is apparently connected. So it's been an interesting journey of not sleeping and then being an anxious mess. So great combination, not going to lie. But I have to say the Calm app has been so good. The sleep sounds have been very helpful, as well as just listening to stories to put you to sleep. I've found them really helpful. I also really like binaural beats. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's like a sound wave, and the Calm app has them. Actually, I'm pretty sure it does. They've got some recordings where this particular sound wave of that can be put in music or, you know, meditation or whatnot, and it's really calming. I don't know too much about it, but I find it really useful. The Insight Timer app as well.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Yeah, that's like, I also just love the gong sound that you can get with you. I don't know, I just love it. So yeah, they're my go-tos. I also have my own yoga practice with a studio that I really connect with, and the studio that I teach at as well. So yeah, they're my tips.
Fantastic. Yeah, so there's a lot to take away there. So if anyone who's a little bit anxious, getting back into school and work and seeing people, then or if something else is setting you off, then there's some great tips for you. So thanks for that, Jeanette. That's great. And so I always ask my guests some of these questions, and first one is, what's the best marketing method for your business? And I guess this is the two, the yoga and interior design. What works best in terms of marketing?
Word of mouth, both. Really, honestly, word of mouth and network as well, I'd say.
Yeah.
So who you know. But word of mouth for my interior design business has been the most amazing thing. It's been great. I don't really advertise too much. It's more so like client referral and like magazine spreads and things like that and social media. They're my go-tos for my marketing. I probably should do some more, but I do really like those. They kind of just been my no fail, like they don't fail me ever. So yeah,
because it's all about the positive experiences, and that's just, it feeds more positive experiences. Because you go to a website, look, websites are great, they serve a purpose, but you can't just have a website without knowing anything else, especially with interior design. They're going to your home, you're investing, like you want to know it's good quality. And I mean, for me, there's been times I've just done a search and then had a not so great experience. I'm like, well, maybe if I'd actually asked a few people first, then I would have had a better one, because
it's always word of mouth, right? You can't go wrong. Yeah,
very true. And you've covered some things, but how else do you take care of your health and wellness?
Ooh, self-care is so important to me. Downtime is so important to me. So in my journey, in my personal development journey, and in my yoga journey, I've learned a lot about myself. Particularly when you do your training, you do a lot of inquiry work, which I've always liked doing since I was young. Actually, my mum very much encouraged me to do it. So thanks, mum. That's kind of always stuck with me. And in doing so, I learned that, I think a few of the things that I mentioned earlier, I'm quite a sensitive person by nature and can be quite a warrior, and also an introvert. I used to always think that I was extroverted because I liked socializing and I liked going out, but then I could never really work out why I found it exhausting. And then I grew up a bit, did a lot of, you know, had a lot of experience with my anxiety and whatnot, and had some pretty bad experiences with that, very traumatic. And I went, oh, I'm actually introverted. I need that space. Yes, I love socializing, but then I need that space to recover and fill up my cup. So there's that concept of that cup, you know, and you can't pour from an empty cup. And so filling up the cup and doing things like self-care, your yoga, your mindfulness practices, all those things is that, make you the best version of yourself. The other things, I'm a beach person. I love the ocean and I love the beach. And for me, whenever I'm not feeling the best, that's my, if I'm going to go anywhere physical or if I'm to visualize anything, that's where you'd find me. I find the ocean very grounding, healing. I love the sand that is sort of half wet, half solid. It just feels like it's really got you. So that's where you'll find me wanting to go. And then just a lot of downtime and a lot of sleep, which I don't get enough of. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not getting enough of it at the moment, but I'm working on it.
Sorry, we're almost at the weekend.
We are.
Interesting what you say about the extrovert versus introvert thing, because I'm the same. I always say that I'm an extrovert because I do really enjoy being around people, but after I've been to a networking event, I always feel exhausted. So maybe I am
you can be both.
Introvert. I think maybe I am, because there's times where I'm like, I just want my space and I just want to chill and read because I love my reading and stuff.
Same.
Other times, like, I want to get out and chat to people, and then I feel bouncing off the walls, this great adrenaline from having that session or networking or whatever it was, like party. So, maybe I am different. Just depends on the day.
Exactly. And I've also learned, and I just thought about this, I've also learned to say no. I think when you're younger as well, and I think it's just a rite of passage, you say yes to everything. Yes, 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 which is great because yes means opportunity. And I still believe that in business as well, and you can't close yourself off. But in saying that, even as a person with severe anxiety and still to this day gets anxiety, it's really important to know when to say no, you know. Regardless, like, even if it is a good opportunity, if you're not really in that right state of mind, why suffer? Like, why put yourself through that suffering? And there's nothing wrong with knowing that you're sensitive at that point or you're introverted. Because I used to crucify myself and think, oh, I'm shit, this is not going to work, blah, blah, blah. You know, I still have those days too, but I'm very much not in that mindset anymore. You know, I just, whatever I need comes first. If that makes sense.
Love it. That's so true. So true. Like the whole thing, Phil, you can't, you know, you have to, your cup has to be full before you can help anyone else. And how can people connect with you?
They can connect with me on socials. So you can find me at JZ Designs with an S on the end and then an underscore. But if you type in my name, my last name's unique, you will not meet a lot of us Delzeros, and chances are if you've met Mama Delzero, we're related. So if you Google my name, you'll find me too. You'll find my website, you'll find all information about me. My yoga account is yoga with JDZ, because that's kind of what I'm known as, JDZ Designs, JDZ, my initials. And then if ADSN, you just find me under ADSN, which is Australia Doctor Spouse Network too. So where we focus a lot on health and wellness as well, because, you know, it doesn't, that as well, your home life in that area is really important. So,
Yeah, that's a whole conversation itself. We'll have to do a follow-up chat. thank you so much. We've come to the end, but I've really enjoyed chatting with you, Jeanette, about all the mindful stuff. It's been a bit of a reminder for me.
Me too.
Yeah. That's it. Go back to your old habits. But yes, thank you so much. And thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via Apple Podcasts, and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247. Or of course, book in a free 15-minute chat. Because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.